This is a Radio.com original.
I would drive all the way to the parking lot, you know, drive all the way down through, you know, residential, go in a parking lot and make circles for, you know, until he finished his beer, and then we'd head back. And that's how I learned how to drive. I learned how to drive stick that way.
So and, if I get it right, your driving drove your dad to drink. Is that what you're saying?
No, I was more of an accomplice, more of, you know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new Talking About Cars podcast where everybody has a car story. I'm Randy Cardoon, who's a bit of a viewer of television, maybe a little too much, but I understand you can get treated for that. But, you know, that who knows? I'm sure my co-host, Hot Rod Bob Beck, enjoys a bit of TV as well, correct?
I love watching TV.
Yeah. Maybe too much, you know, but I'm talking about TV shows that have cars in it. So it's not like we're
definitely
going headlong into car deprivation.
I mean, it can be a detective show. It can be an action adventure show. But if they're not in a car, it's a no show.
Exactly. What's the point? I mean, especially the old style TV shows.
Yes.
Mannix. Remember that?
But he had some great cars.
Yeah, he did. He had some really good cars. They had a lot of difference. T.J. Hooker. Now, there's an old, all the old cop cars that were huge because they were all late 70s.
And Adam 12.
Adam 12, absolutely.
Yeah. Matter of fact, one of my cars was in an episode of Adam 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my coupe. We rented it out, and it was the tough guy's car, the street hoodlums. Driving the hot rod.
Did they drive it?
Yes, they did.
Ooh, you got an extra money for that, I bet.
I did. I mean, that car paid for itself in a year. Let me tell you, it wasn't so much. It was fun stuff.
Yeah. Were you there when they did it?
No, not for that particular scene. I was in another one with the blonde kid that was in a bunch of stuff, and Ricky Schroeder. It was in one of the movies he did. And it was one of the star cars. So I got to drive it in the cruising scenes and stuff. And then it sat in front of a mock restaurant, a 50 style diner.
Nice. Nice. So you get the idea where we're going with this. One of the car shows we watch from time to time, Magnum PI. Now, I did watch the old one. I have watched the new one. Today, it's time for another TV and movie car episode. Thanks to our friends at Star Cars. Today, we are looking at two different cars. The first will be the owner of a Ferrari 308. The second will be the owner of a car from the Transformers movie, and that will be one of the Camaros.
Yeah.
Bumblebee Camaros. The first Bumblebee Camaro. I mean, anybody can bring a brand new Camaro and slap a Bumblebee sticker on it.
GM made a replica that you could buy at the dealership of the new one.
That's cheating.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what?
It is.
It's product placement.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The first one was not product placement. The second one, they said, hey, wait a minute, guys. Stop using stuff we don't make anymore. Here's a new one. Have some fun.
That's right. It's not like the Steve McQueen Mustang. Well, actually, it's exactly like the Steve McQueen Mustang now that I think the bullet car.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that didn't they do a Starsky and Hutch version of the Torino?
Well, a lot of people did, but Ford didn't. They didn't put that paint job on that I'm aware of. Now, I'm sure one of our viewers will correct us.
Yeah, if you hear about it. Because I believe somebody did.
So, yeah, if they did, that'd be great. And
or Ford might have toward the end, at least put it on a paint job.
And we'll mention you on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll mention you on the show. And if you like this idea of asking you guys questions, hit like on your YouTube page and let us know. It'll give us an idea that you guys are interested because we want to run some ideas by you. We'd like you to get a little more interactive with us on the show. All right. Yeah. Speaking of interactive on the show, let's get right to it because we have some cars we're going to show you.
We do.
Guided tour of the whole thing, and we'll see how that works. First off, of course, Magnum PI, the owner of the Ferrari 308 GTS. Let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the cheap sound effects. It's Oscar Verdugo joining us, ladies and gentlemen. And there he is, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Verdugo joining us live from the Magnum's lair. I'm assuming you're not in Hawaii, sir.
No, not at all. In a beautiful Hacienda, California. Hacienda Heights.
Hacienda Heights, Hawaii. Bob, I'm sure you get confused with that all the time.
They're just so close. Hawaii begins with an H. What more can you ask for?
Exactly. No. At least, unless you're in Hawaiian Gardens, where that would be something completely different. No.
I'll give you some greenery there.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Wow, I didn't know there was any of that greenery stuff around, although there's a lot of brown stuff around, but I understand that completely. Oscar, thanks for joining us. And again, you are the man who is behind certainly one of the Ferrari 308 GTSs that maybe not the GTS, but certainly one of them. Remind us all of the original TV show Magnum. And as I mentioned on the intro, the last time we saw a Thomas Magnum Ferrari 308 GTS, it got blown up in the first episode of the new one.
That's right.
Did you see that? And B, what was your reaction when you saw that?
I didn't think they were going to do that. I thought maybe they were just going to leave it in the garage and say, an emergency car or something. No, I didn't expect for them to go over the, it was a little large, but it was fun.
Here, let me explain what the reaction was. Yeah, that was basically it. Go ahead, Bob.
It reminds me of the original Mod Squad. And if you remember, they destroyed that wonderful Mercury Woody at the beginning of this next season.
I don't remember if it was the beginning. Was it the beginning of the next season?
I believe it was the first show of the new season.
We're
starting all over again. Boom, there goes a collectible car that's rare.
Yeah, I talked to Michael Cole on this very program. Not this episode, obviously, but Michael Cole told me that on that car, apparently they had kind of a believability issue because on the show, the Mercury wagon would be chasing Ferraris and chasing all these hot cars and catching them.
Yeah.
No one was buying that.
I can't imagine why.
And apparently the other part was Dodge came in and said, hey, we'll do a sponsorship if you drive one of our cars. And so they went, for a minute. And the next thing you know, they had a Challenger convertible. That was pretty much it for the Mercury. But they had to set it on fire like four times because it wouldn't blow up. Light. So they had to reenact the scene over and over again because the stupid thing wouldn't go down the hill.
Well, yeah, the Mercury was resistant. Come on. I mean, maybe the Mercury logo's got wings on the shoes, but the car didn't fly.
No.
Probably better asbestos.
Yeah, well, they could have done it many ways. And there you go. That's kind of how that worked. So again, the Magnum, they blew it up right off the top. And I think that kind of got everybody out of the way of this is going to be a different show.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's got to improve the value of the one he's got.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think. Has anybody offered you like money for this 308 you have, Oscar?
I have people, at the shows and, at Star Car events that, people come up, hey, are you interested in selling it? Here's my number. If you're interested, give me a call. I've got several of those, but, I've never really been interested in selling it. I've had other Ferraris and I've sold them. And the only reason I've kept this is because of Nate. Nate Truman, because he keeps calling me for these events and he says, hey, I need you to do this. Hey, can you come and do this? Absolutely. There you go. When I can. Now it's been a little bit tough in the last couple of years, just because of things that are going on in business world and personal, but I try to keep the car hopefully in working order. And it's just in the storage, covered up. It sees its maintenance work every, 8 years, seven, 8 years. I'll go and have it. Old Eugene will take care of it, And then it goes back in the garage. So it's has only 35,000 miles on original miles on it. So it's
really,
it's yeah. Yeah. 30? I bought it. I bought the car with 17,000 miles on it. And the owner that I bought it from put 16,000 of those on her. The original owner only put 1,000 miles on it. Wow. And yeah, so it's a new motor. It's everything. Every time I take it in, it looks, you know, it looks the same. Maybe they change some belts and they change a couple of seals here and there and write a check for $8,000.
Yeah. Well, so how much does it cost to do a tune up on that?
It's fuel injection. So usually when I take it in, they just run the whole service through it. And it's probably when I first started, it was like $6,500. And the last time was about a year ago, just before the pandemic. And it was $7,900. And then they added a couple of other things done. I had them redo the alternator just to make sure, because I had a light turning on and we didn't know where it was. So they fixed that and threw a couple $100 more for that. So it's about close to $8,000 for the last service I did on it.
Holy socks, Batman. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of, a lot of money. And that's why, you know, I had a Testarossa and that one would run me about 10 to 12, depending on how much work needed, but I only did this major service one time on that, and then I sold it. I sold it about 3 years ago.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean,
no,
I mean, you know, that's what I paid for a whole car.
Yeah, so my dad says, you know, remember your first car? I paid $50 for it.
Yeah, but it was never with Tom Selleck on a TV show. You know what I mean? That's,
well, I don't know. You know, an Opel, you know, 1959 Opel Record, you know, canary yellow, man. That's a real, you know, chick magnet.
59 Opel. You know, I actually don't know what those look like. How scary is that? Plus, I want to say that I had as a kid, there was a Opel Record little, what do you call it? The kind of car where if you ran the wheels and then you let it go by itself and it would just start going. I think I had one of those back.
Yeah. Well, I had a 59. That was my, actually my dad gave me this when I was 15 years old. And that was my, how to learn how to drive car. And it was a 3-speed on the column. I think the top speed was maybe at best 70
built in safety valves.
And I would
had a governor on it probably.
My dad would grab a beer, we'd get in the car and go over to the college parking lot. It was over by Cal State LA. We lived right there in the University Hills area. And I would drive all the way to the parking lot, you know, drive all the way down through, you know, residential, go in the parking lot and make circles for, you know, until he finished his beer. And then we'd head back. And that's how I learned how to drive. I learned how to drive stick that way.
So if I get it right, your driving drove your dad to drink. Is that what you're saying?
No, I was more of an accomplice. More of, you know, you know, it wouldn't, you know, maybe be upset with mom or something. And then he goes, you know, get the car keys. Let's go. Grab me a beer on the way out.
I see. Okay. Yeah,
so that was my very first car, was an Opel Record.
Wow. Well, you've come a long way. Let's take a step back. And as far as the jump to the 308, is that your first ever star car that you got involved in?
Yes, the 308, our beloved Magnum Mobile, yeah.
Yes, and I know obviously you liked it on the show, but what was your first step that you actually took going beyond the, gee, it'd be nice to have that car? What did you do next to find one? Or what made you decide to find it?
You know, the way I came across the 308, I've always liked the 308. I saw the show, you know, I wasn't a big fan, but I love the car, and I'm a general contractor, and that was my, you know, I build things and mostly all commercial, never did residential. And I had a client who said, I've got, my son needs some work in his house. And I said, I just don't do residential. I do buildings. I do, interiors of high rise buildings. I don't do that. And but I did work in his house because, you know, he was a client of a high rise and I did some work for him. And in his garage was the 308 next to a Bentley, next to a whole bunch of, he had a huge garage. And I used to love looking at the car. And I told him, you know, one of these days you got to sell me that car. I said, oh, I'm never going to sell this car. You know, okay. And then one day he was asking me, hey, my son's got his house. You got to work on it. I said, nah, I just can't do it. You know, I just can't get involved with this. And he went along like this and, hey, well, can you draw the plans? Can you help him get a permit? So I helped him with that. And then one day he says, hey, come in. I want to do some changes. Can you meet me at, you know, my son's house and we'll go over this. So I went and he said, listen, you need to work on his house. You know, what's it going to take? I said, listen, I just don't do residential. And he reached in his pocket. He put the Ferrari keys on the coffee table and I just said, okay, I'll start on Monday. It was as simple as that. It was simple as that. You know,
very good, boy.
But, you know, finished the job, picked up the car and that was it.
So you actually getting the car really had nothing to do with the show, it, you know, and you looking for one as opposed to it was just a business deal.
Yeah. I mean, originally, you know, I would probably eventually would have bought the car because I really did like it. But, you know, I wasn't in a market for one. I did, you know, it just came, it was there. It fell on my lap and I said, awesome. You know, let's, I'll do it. You know, let's start the job, you know, finish the job, got his son's work done and took the car home. Now, the only thing that really I did not like about the car when I first bought it is that the wheels were painted red and it was the most hideous looking color. And I was embarrassed to drive the car with the red wheels. So I literally went online before I even brought the car home. I found some Ferrari wheels, good old eBay, or found some wheels, purchased the wheels, got some hubs made for it. And because they were from a Mondale. They weren't from a 308, which was really nice because the wheels were wider and it really looked great in the back. The back of the car looked fantastic because it was a wider looking rear end. So I had those wheels put on, drove it like that for a while and had my service guy paint the wheels, have the wheels redone. And then I put the original wheels back on because it was just a hideous looking car. And there's a show on TV on Channel 7. I can't remember the name. It's where the kid goes back to his past, you know, and he's a filmmaker. Adam, I forget what his name. Well, he's in one of the episodes that they have there. They're talking about the Ferrari. He's got to get a Ferrari 308 and this and that. All of a sudden, here comes a Ferrari, and it had the same ugly red wheels on it. And I could not believe it. I said, that could not have been factory, but they had the same exact ugly red wheels.
Really?
Yeah.
That wasn't like your car years before.
No. Okay. Mine was, it was just some guy that they rented the Ferrari from, and it was the same red ugly wheels. And everybody, all my Ferrari friends, when I tell them that story, goes, you know what? I knew a guy that had some with red wheels. That's the ugliest looking thing I'd have ever seen. And they were hideous, you know.
But you thought your guy fixed your wheels. He had another set. He sold your wheels.
He probably did.
Yeah, probably.
That's exactly what he did. Yeah.
Now I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. So that was, you know, that's the only thing I hated about the car when I first got it. That was I refused to drive it like that. It's just, you know.
Wow. So your Ferrari, you've had that for a while, and that's actually been on TV as well through Star Cars, I assume. What were some, where would we have seen your car show up?
Well, I've done a couple of things. One was Jimmy Kimmel rented it for a skit with rapper T.I., and they did a skit called Magnum T.I., which was basically the intro of the show. And he's basically, they use the car, what do you call it, as a, you know, on a green screen, he's sitting on there, he's doing his thing and he throws a grenade and
You know, yeah. Selleck used to do all the time, right?
Yeah. Throw a grenade and the car explodes, and which I never, you know, I never seen him throw a grenade, but you know, okay.
Well, Jay Hernandez Hollywood. Would have. I think Jay Hernandez on the new one probably would have thrown a grenade, but he's not in that car anymore, so it doesn't really matter now, does it?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to do I did an event for AARP. No, not AARP. What is it? I'm not going to say the product, but it was an insurance company that Magnum, that Tom Selleck is on now. Uh-huh. He's on a commercial now for reverse insurance, reverse mortgage things. Yeah. So that company called me and said, "Hey, we're going to have him come out here. We're doing this big event in which is the Crystal Cathedral down here, and I believe it's like Anaheim. They were having the event outdoors in that area." So they wanted to rent the car. They wanted me to drive him in with the car, and everybody was going to wear Hawaiian shirts, and everybody was going to wear fake mustaches like him. So and they had this massive screen. So at the end, I guess this is when he was still doing his show in New York. Canceled, could not make it. So now I'm bringing in the president of the insurance company and some other exec was wanted to be in there. So I drove him in, and it was really funny, and they filmed it for a commercial, which they never wound up releasing. It was just corporate stuff. Mm-hmm. So you'd get off there, and everybody was wearing the Hawaiian shirt, and even the women were wearing the fake mustache. It was really
You'd think they were fake.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right, dude.
Yeah, so that we've just lost a spot to write them off, but okay, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we've done tons of parades, and we've done a couple of other corporate things, but it's a lot of fun.
I remember talking to Larry Minetti, who was one of the guys on the original show, and he actually, once the show ended, I believe he was one of the guys that bought the original Ferrari 308 GTS from the show. So he actually held on to it for a while. And as the story goes, or as he told me once, he is saying that apparently the car just had all sorts of problems and could never really run right. And he paid a lot of money to keep it going until he eventually said to heck with it and sold it. But I mean, you know, how does that car run when you're with it?
Oh, it's perfect. I've never, ever had a problem with the car other than basic maintenance. Let's see. I did have the clutch adjusted once. Mm-hmm. I did have change the pads on the wheels just for my, you know, I just wanted them changed. Oil. Transmission fluid, and that's mm-hmm. it. And of course, I changed the belts and stuff. That's part of the major service.
Right.
But my car is always driven like a new car.
Every time the service advisor sees you coming down the street, he goes, "Okay, I think we can go to Europe this year."
I have Eugenio on speed dial. So, but there was a couple of times that, you know, I had something with the car, you know, hey, I think the belt busted or is loose or something, or you know, he tweaked the smog, pump so it can run a little better. Hey, I'm going to go do a parade. I don't want the car to heat up. Can you put another fan in it? Things like that. And he would take care of it really quick for me because he knew I needed it for an event or something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than that, no, I've never actually had a problem with the car at all.
Go ahead.
We need to see the car.
We do.
Okay.
I think it's time. Right. It's right around. So why don't you flip the button here and let's take a look at the car and kind of give us a running commentary.
Do you drive it with those plates on?
You know, I have a few times coming out for parades and I forget to change them, but
I haven't been pulled over.
No, I've never been pulled over, but you know, they I've accidentally left them on a couple of times just from events, star car events.
Yeah, you know, still has it isn't a Ferrari unless it's red.
You know, I used to say that all the time, and I had a Ferrari Testarossa, a 91, that was Sarah blue and cream interior. And I always wanted a red Testarossa with leather interior, with tan interior. And then I was told, hey, there's one for sale. You want to take a look at it? And I said, no, it's not red.
So I went, he said, it's in Reno, Nevada. So you're going to have to
fly up and see it. The guy that was selling it says, listen, bring a checkbook with you or a cashier's check. And if you like it, you know, you can take it. You know, I'll tell you, you know, transport it, whatever you want to do. And I said, no, it's not red, you know. And the second I got there, and the guy came up and had a driver come and pick me up at the airport, my business partner and me. And as soon as we drove into his lot, I got out of the car and I couldn't even pull the check out fast enough. I thought I was going to rip it because I thought he was going to say, you know what, I changed my mind. But no, it's that was my favorite car. I sold it about 3 years ago, a little bit over 3 years ago, because I used to store both of the cars in my office building in South Pasadena. But I sold that building not thinking of where I was going to store these cars after I got rid of the building. So I now would call again, rent a space, and I kept the Ferrari in the garage. And the problem was I didn't drive the Testarossa, and I was afraid that, you know, things are going to start leaking. Things are going to start drying out. And I finally said, you know what? I told my wife, I think I'm going to sell it because I don't like seeing it just sitting around there. And I'm really afraid things are going to start costing me a lot more money.
So you know, my wife says the same thing about me. There are things drying up, leaking, and you know, but it's illegal to sell me.
Well,
not that you wouldn't try, though.
In some states.
Yeah, some states. Some of you listening in another state, probably if this is something that you know about, well, hit the like button and let us know what you think. What state is where it would work? Ah, you do have the Detroit Tigers cap. And right there is the, here, let's get this, the Robin
T.I.
from the Jimmy Kimmel.
Of course. Deal.
If you had an opportunity to get another car from a TV or movie, what would it be?
Probably the Spider from Miami Vice, the Black Spider.
Ah.
I definitely like that car.
The McBurney
but
car.
I don't know if I buy a McBurney, but I don't know if I can afford the other one.
Yeah, well, that's just it. The McBurney car, at least you go into, you know, lube it, and, you know, 50 bucks, you're out the door, and it's already serviced.
Yeah, you know, I was actually going to buy it with Nate over Truman was saying, well, you know, there's one for sale. You ought to take a look at it. And I did take a look at it, and it did not look legit. It just looked like, you know, like somebody threw this body on a Corvette, and it just didn't look right. There was just too many things that just didn't look right on it. So I don't want to spend time working on these cars. I don't really like to put time into cars. I just like to drive them. You know, I've never been a real grease monkey. When I was a kid, yeah, you know, I used to do things to the cars that, you know, that I would get, but not now. I don't like oil under my nails.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
So what else do you have in your garage right now?
The only thing that as far as the other cars I drive, well, my wife owns, her original 7 Camaro LT, still original condition. It looks like it's brand new. We also have a regular SL 500 Mercedes. We drive a Escalade, and my daily driver used to be a Prius.
Oh,
now it's well, I travel a lot of miles, so
yeah.
I used to drive a lot of miles, so now it's just a RAV4 because I needed a little bit more space and the miles and And I just need something I can throw plans in, throw things in, and something that's a gas saver. But yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. That's my workhorse is that. But usually.
Do you have the license plate frame that says my other car is a Ferrari?
You know, when you drive those cars, nobody believes you.
Nobody. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Everyone has a list. Top 10 cars or trucks you want someday. Give me your top three of the cars you would like someday.
I think I would like, I do like the California, the Ferrari California, because, you know, I'm not the slim guy I was when I was in my 30s. Oh, so, no. Yeah, I like something that's really nice and comfortable. And I like the top. So that would be my first one that I would like it now. As far as other Ferraris, you know, the Taglia, sure. Of course, I would love to. Who wouldn't like to own an Enzo? But, you know, who's going to pay? Who want to pay for that unless you've got so much money you don't need it, you know?
But, I wonder what a tune-up on that goes for.
Gosh. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You
walk in, the service advisor has a loan application for you.
So have you seen the new Magnum, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got, I just saw it a couple of times and I just saw it like the first season. And then after that, I just got a little bit too, I don't know. It didn't really stick with me very long. So I just kind of, I changed to Robot Wars or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's a sudden whiplash right there. Yeah. Wow. So which of their cars that they have interests you at all, if any?
Well, the 458 that they had in it is pretty nice. I would, you know, of course, like to have that. You know, that's about it. I'm not really a big, you know, I don't drive these anymore for speed. That's why I bought the Testarossa, because when I had this 308 and I was, you know, member of the Ferrari club and the Ferrari owners club, and we would do runs, you know, all around everywhere, you know, once a month. And when I would take the 308, you know, you've got all these other cars just, you know, they'd be waiting for you, you know, 2 miles down the road. Hey, did we lose them? You know, because these guys were just so fast. So I bought the Testarossa and then I was able to keep up with everybody. And I really enjoyed that. So I also bought a 348 at one time, which was the worst car I had ever bought. And I virtually got rid of the car between the sale and the time I got to the house. I had already made a call to, hey, you got to get rid of this thing. I don't like it. So that car, I don't even say I owned it, because I think it was in like 48 hours or something like that turnaround. Wow. It was just one of those cars that you just did not like or didn't feel. It's not me, you know. But and this one, surprisingly, I thought I would when I got the Testarossa, I had a, you know, there was many times I thought, oh, I'm just going to sell this, you know, I don't drive this, you know, and then all of a sudden Star Cars came along and it became a lot of fun, you know, made a lot of friends. I was one of what they call the core members with Nate. Let me see. It was Nate, Paul Nye. Oh gosh. There was a couple of other people that I'm trying to remember their names. They're not even the crew. Alex Wong. Mm-hmm. These were the original guys in the group. And we would get together every week, just about something to do. There was always, wow, something to do. And it was a lot of fun hanging out with these guys. And I stopped going to Ferrari events. She would love to go to these events because the other ladies were there. They're looking at their Gucci bags and they're
drinking.
Yeah. And they're having their wine and they're going to all these great, we're going to all these great restaurants. So they, the guys are all just talking about cars and the women are, so she loved it. So we, you know, we did that and she enjoyed doing that. And, but after a while, you know, it's time to do something else. So
absolutely. Star Cars. Yeah. Well, Oscar, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you telling us a little bit about the car and why you got into a Ferrari 308 GTS. Good luck to you. We'll see your car, I'm sure, around doing some other stuff.
Sounds great.
All right, Oscar, we're going to take a break. When we return, we will have more, another Star Car to look at. Bob and I will look transfixed and transposed and in a Trans Am. Who knows what'll be happening? We will be checking it out, and he'll be drinking more from that Tommy's Cup when we return on the Talking About Cars podcast on radio.com. And of course, the Two Tired Guys YouTube page right after this timeout. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Talking About Cars podcast as we continue our Star Cars number four edition. I should know where I am here. Four edition. We talk about the Bumblebee. one of the stars of the Transformer movies, and of course, the car that was the star. There were two versions of it, of course, the brand new updated car, but frankly, we like, since we're old and crotchety, we like the old and crotchety version that is the classic Camaro Bumblebee, and its owner, Ray Galluccio, and his son, Justin, who is his electronics editor right there. How you guys doing? Thanks for joining us.
Doing good. Doing good, man. Woke up this morning. We got some bright California sun. And everything's well.
Awesome. Very good. I like to hear that. Of course, everybody on the East Coast now throwing their snow at us right now. Yep. So,
yep. Yep. Yeah. Hey, we got another foot. We got another foot of sunshine today.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So let's go right for it. And of course, your car background behind you there is the Camaro. We will look at it in greater depth in a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about the cars. And are you guys car people? I mean, do you consider yourself real car aficionados?
You know what? We dabble. Let me tell you my car experience, right? I do a lot of the Hollywood stuff to the car. You know, a thermostat is two bolts, right? Well, yeah. I go to undo one bolt, no problem. Second bolt, pop. Two bolts. It's not that hard. So, I like looking at cars. I like to dabble, you know, do like upholstery stuff, painting stuff, whatever. But as far as mechanical, besides, no, I was a brain. Too many moving parts. I get confused.
See, I like this guy. I think most of us are like that. Even though, you know, we can do little things. Bob, you've seen me work on cars. I mean, I can do little things. It's when we get to the heavy duty stuff that both of us put our heads together and nothing happens.
We can break parts easily.
Exactly.
Well, you guys are, you know, you heard my thermostat story. So you guys, if you can know how to do even more than that, then you guys are mechanical wizards before me. So, yeah.
Oh, I can break parts on just about any part of a car.
And we have. And I think we have, as a matter of fact. Yeah. And a couple of times we did it together. Oh, yeah, we could do this. And then all of a sudden it's like, why isn't it working? It's not working the way it's supposed to be.
Your car's bleeding. What's happening?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think it's supposed to be that way.
No.
Don't fix it.
Exactly. So, Ray, did you grow up in a Chevy family, a Ford family, or what?
You know, the funny part is to me, as long as the car's cool, I don't really care. You got people like that whole snowboard, skier. I don't care because we actually have a 69 Ford Mustang, which is the wife's. So,
okay.
And then we own a Toyota and a Nissan. So it's like, what, you know, whatever. I mean, I know, I'm going to get shown for the Nissan and the Toyota thing, but yeah. It doesn't, as long as the car's cool, it can be made by anybody.
So not really.
Yeah, you're bilingual when it comes to cars.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, after all, you know, you got to drive cars around nowadays. This isn't Detroit in 1972, where, you know, you drive around and there are no Nissans or anything like that.
Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, all the cool cars. Yeah. All the American made stuff.
Exactly. So,
yeah, as long as the car is cool, I'm good. It can be made by anybody.
Absolutely. All right. So what was your first car?
Wow. First car I had in high school was a 74 Gremlin.
All right, I like this guy already. Yeah,
it was owned by a little old lady, and yeah, it. I mean, outside of when you hit a puddle, you're done because the way they set up the drift cap. Yeah, and then I bumped up to a 78 Firebird. So yeah,
that's quite a bump.
Okay, yeah.
You put a trunk on it at least. You know, you got to get used to driving with that. You know, the caboose out there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
74. So was it like a Spree, or was it like what kind of Firebird was it?
Oh, the Firebird was the basic model. I forget.
Yeah, I think that's what they called it, the Esprit.
Yeah, and I had to add the fin to it stuff because to me, a Camaro or a Firebird without the tail fin is just weird. I mean, unless you're a Rockford File fan, then cool. But for me, it needs the fin.
Well, what was the old story about the car that that they used in that was actually a more loaded car, but they ended up taking off the air thing, the grabber seal in the back. That's and all crazy. That because they wanted it to kind of look more than, you know, not as good as nice as it was.
Like a plane wrap detective type of car thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of worked. So
it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, he lived in a trailer. You're going to put him in a Trans Am? Come on.
On the beach, for heaven's sakes.
Well, yeah, that was the good side. Yeah.
How many of you guys have actually taken a car, painted it, and moved to the beach? Do you know what happens to a paint job at the beach?
That's why I have a garage.
Oh, that fresh air does the car good, not.
Oh, when I was out of college, it was the first thing I did is I took my 1968 Chevy Malibu and I painted it at like a Carcoa kind of place or a
Earl Scheib
kind of place. But I got the nicer paint job, and it was kind of like really dark blue, kind of metal flaky in the whole bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I had that, and I was waxing it, and everything was fine. Then I moved to the beach for my first radio job in beautiful downtown Pismo Beach, California. Mm-hmm. And little by little, my car was suddenly not shining up the way it should be. And it took me years later to find out, salt air, mm-hmm. not a smart idea.
It's like sandpaper.
Hey, salt's not good for us. The cars don't like it either. What the heck?
Oh, no. Like a wet sanding paper, but it injected up like really good. Yeah.
Oh, did it? Oh, see, I live and learn, but the car's gone. So, easy come, easy go. But yeah, you live and learn. So, how did you get involved with the guys at Star Cars?
Funny you mention it. I'm a bike guy normally, like beach cruiser type of vintage Schwinn bikes. So we had a buddy gave us a straight bar frame. And my son was like, "Hey, how about we make a Pee Wee Herman bike?" I'm like, "All right, I love the movie. Sweet, golden." And we made the bike. And then my son saw Star Cars. He said, "Hey, what do you think? Do you think they'll let us in?" I said, "Well, technically, a bike's a vehicle, so let's see what he says." Next thing you know, we're in Star Cars. That's like the cheapest way you can get into Star Cars. The cheapest way.
So you got on with Pee Wee Herman's bike before you had the Camaro?
Yep. Yep. Yep, that's we snuck in. And a lot of guys, and the funny part is our friend Paul, he goes, "You know what? I got this DeLorean. It's cool." But people just rush right past that and go straight to Pee Wee Herman's bike. I'm like, I'm sorry. You know.
Hey, whatever works.
Right? So we snuck in, and then I got a chance to get a Camaro. I always like Camaros and Firebirds. So we picked up the Camaro, and the rest is history.
So talk about that. So when you bought the car, was it for the intent of putting it in Star Cars and having it become some sort of Transformer clone? Or were you just buying it and then the thought of doing something with it came later?
Kind of the latter. I was looking for Camaro anywhere from 80 to 67. 67 would be the perfect one, but God, you know, you need like a whole bunch of money for that. Rolling chassis, like $5,000, but. So we found the 76, and then we watched the Transformer. Like, hey, that looks like our car. Sweet. So then began the journey. I actually rattle canned this thing behind me.
It was a primer gray at first. Definitely a primer gray. And then we just looked at different shots from the movie and was like,
frame by frame. More than a person should, unless you're editing. And then we rattle canned it and then tricked it out with the rush you see is actually not real. People think it's real. I'm like, no, it's.
Because we got the wrong yellow at first. It was a canary yellow. And I'm like, Dad, it looks like Tweety Bird. So,
and I was after painting the whole car. So I wanted to do a Bart Simpson to my son, but I didn't. But it actually worked out because we painted a darker color. And then the lighter color where I didn't get it shone through. So it looked like it was faded. So,
okay.
Faded. There you go.
So you actually spray canned that car yellow.
Yep. Drips and all. I actually kept the drips, which. My OCD almost drove me insane, but I'm like, if a crappy used car dealer, what would they do? They would actually rattle can and let the drips happen, whatever, just to sell it. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I kind of got in the spirit of
I forgot, but I know he's played by Bernie Mac.
Yeah, I kind of got in the spirit of a used car dealer. What would I do to make as much money and keep it as cheap as possible?
I can handle my
inner used car dealer.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting pictures of Ralph Williams and what's his name with the Dodge? His dog Spot and
Cal Worthington.
Yeah. For those people out of California, those were notorious dealers here in Southern California. Ralph spent his time in a couple of different prisons of choice, but Cal Worthington always stayed above board. He never got arrested for anything. He was just very flamboyant. He used to make fun of everything the other dealer was doing. And the dog Spot came about because the sales manager always had a German Shepherd with him.
Nice.
And so Cal Worthington had his dog Spot. And every time it was everything but a dog. It could have been an elephant. It could have been a turtle. You know, it didn't matter.
You know, Cal would stand on his head to beat all deals.
Oh, yeah, but I never saw him do that. They turned the camera upside down, but I never saw him stand on his head.
He would stand on his head until his, what was that? His face was turning red? Is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
His feet were turning red? No, he was wearing shoes. I don't remember exactly what
I don't remember, but he'd say he'd do it just to make the deal. And he had some of those rattle can cars on his lot.
He did?
Yeah.
See, Chan, I did good. I channeled my inner used car guy.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you with lawyers, that's Bob Beck talking about this, not Randy Cardoon, the guy whose name is on the podcast. I just want to make that perfectly clear, all right? Because Cal Worthington is still around. Well, the dealership is, isn't it?
I think his son took over.
His son may have taken over, but Cal went to the big dealership in the sky.
But isn't it called Worthington whatever?
It may have been. Ford, there's a whole bunch of them.
There was one in Sacramento.
Yeah, he's all the way up in Washington and so forth. Is he really? Yeah, wow. He was a mega dealer.
Okay. And his son, is he walking around with bears on cars? I don't think so.
In the junior. Yeah. I think he took over for his dad.
He took over? Okay. Yeah. But not in the same flamboyant manner. He's more of a...
It's still go see Cal, but I don't think they do that crazy. I mean, they could. I don't think they do that.
I guess that means your kids are not as flamboyant as you. For example, Justin, are you as flamboyant as dad?
No. He'll cosplay as Deadpool and stuff like that once in a while. So I'm not... I don't get that crazy.
He's not crazy. He tones it down a little bit.
he's not old enough to not care.
I've become that guy that gets old. Is like, hey, dude, you're naked. You don't care.
Dad, you're out in public. I won't put some clothes on.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as long as you're not at the mall or something like that, it'd be kind of weird. But
unless you're frowned on, yeah, it's
you could be at Wally Mart and then you fit right in though.
Yeah. Wally Mart,
have your own little show.
You know, the Wall Martians.
Right. Exactly. Sad. Was it Men in Black? Aliens do exist. Right. They're Walmart.
Were they wearing pants? I have to remember. I don't know.
Men in Black said nothing about pants.
Exactly. So has your car been in a movie or anything like that yet?
Not yet. We've been in a plethora of events, you know, charity events, probably Christmas parade. But nothing. No. As far as no movies at all. No commercials. But hey, we're looking. If you guys, we'll pick myself up. need a Bowman Camaro. We're here.
Has anyone ever approached you about the car and said that's not the real one?
You know what? Be honest with you. No, they don't. They actually think it's the one from the movie. The big thing they look for is, and I'll show you later, the air freshener. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Biatch air freshener
and
the disco ball. They're like, oh, he's got the. And as long as you have that, pretty much you're
golden.
I mean, because I can point out my OCD can point out 9,000 things wrong on this car, but we'll say it's like 99.9% accurate. But yeah, never anybody go, oh, that's not the real car.
The weirder thing is, it's more the Pee Wee Herman bike than you would think, and it's more the weird stuff on the Pee Wee Herman bike. Like one guy, he almost got down in like a push up type of pose. And he's like, oh, your kickstand's wrong, or the tire's wrong.
Or the tire pressure's
not right.
Always something minor.
do you have the bike with you right now?
It's actually right behind us.
we got a tour of the bike, too.
We got to see it, yeah.
All right. I tell you what, as long as you're doing, let's take a look at the bike, and we'll kind of go through.
I'm going to have my assistant.
Yeah, and you can kind of give us the tour, and we'll be quiet and
yank it off.
Questions.
We'll do you.
Go ahead.
I'm afraid that I hope I don't. Yeah, so everything, these bags, 3D printed. If you ever want to make a Pee Wee Herman bike, it's a labor of love. These bikes can go anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 if you make one.
Wow.
So you put this one together, though, or did you buy this as is?
Oh, no. I actually built a couple of for people. Alamo Brewhouse, we made one for. A couple other customers we made them for. But they're not. It's sad because some of the parts are expensive, like this Tiger Siren.
The lion head, basically, the lion head horn.
Yep, the siren.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what was the basic bike that you used?
Well, a lot of people don't know what it is. People think it's a Schwinn DX, which I do have. But this is a Montgomery Ward Hawthorne from the 1930s, 1940s.
Ooh, okay. That is really a vintage bike.
Oh, yeah. And you can tell, if you can see that, you know, how you got the axles that they got the screws that hold the axle back. That's how you can tell the older bike.
Okay. I like the Springer front fork. That's good.
It's red and white. It has a red seat, has a kind of a package containers on the back, on the sides, kind of like saddlebags.
Yeah.
Has a lion horn or a lion siren in the front, has double lights in the back, and it's a bicycle. It's kind of your old classic 50s, 60s bicycle with that kind of little headlight on the front fender.
Well, like he says, this one's a 1930-something Montgomery Ward. Yeah, so that's...
1930, 1940 Montgomery Ward Hawthorne.
Is that what he used, or is this the one you just made this one out of?
I pretty much just made this one out of it. A lot of people think it was a Schwinn DX, which is about the same as a straight bar frame. I actually have one of those. I have two of them. And if I ever wanted to make it exactly accurate, I could actually take all this stuff off and put it on that bike.
Pee Wee Herman actually did ride what brand?
Yeah,
What kind of shape was it in when you got it?
It was a barn find. It was as crappy as you can get. But see, back in the day, they made them out of steel, so you could sandblast it till the cows come home, even if it's got like major issues, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine. But yeah, that's pretty much what we did. So yeah.
So let's move on to the car.
All the stuff, all the rust you see on this thing is pretty much fake. It's all Hollywooded.
Hollywood. And how do you make rust for Hollywood?
I pretty much got spray paint, rust color spray paint, stuck it in the can, as you can see. Uh-huh. It's all fake, not real at all.
But on camera, it would show up as real.
Yeah.
As we discussed about rust is cancer. And of course, you get the natural stuff that happens. The paint, when it starts chipping. See, like I'm not.
And you have, you have the personalized plate.
I'm not even going to fix that.
And I see you have a personalized plate.
Yep. You have to. Pretty much.
Did this car have all the spoilers that you needed, or did you have to add those?
No, it did. It had this one. Actually, matter of fact, we're going to check the VIN number because we think this might have been actually in the movie, possibly, as one of the cars, because it's got a dent in the same spot right there as it did in the movie. So thing is, I don't know. I mean, could it be coincidental? Yes, it could be, but I don't really know. I mean, it could. So
how did you find the car before you bought it?
Believe it or not, Craigslist, where we find every car.
Oh, okay.
We had really, really good luck with them. Let me go inside real quick. I'll show you the inside of it. And then I'll show you the fun part, the engine compartment. But this is the inside. And this is the air freshener I was telling you about.
Okay, so it does have a bumblebee. Oh, I see. It's a bumblebee air freshener, but it's also kind of like a disco ball hanging.
Yeah, that's the thing that everybody looks for. And then, of course, the steering wheel, which we just made more accurate. In the movie, it's a chrome with the Transformer logo.
Oh, okay.
So it's a yellow car, obviously, like Bumblebee, and it's got the two stripes down the middle.
Which is, I actually also put it on there.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So you had to get a new hood.
So I did all the stuff. Okay. No, actually, it came with that hood, believe it or not.
It did.
That's the actual hood it came with. Now I'm going to hand the camera to my son so I can show you the fun part, the engine.
Okay. There you go.
And of course, I can start it up for it if you want. So you can hear the engine.
Does it rumble?
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Did I just hear that a guy talk? Did you hear that?
I did.
A little loud.
No. It sounded like one of the Transformers talking.
Oh, that was a radio. But we actually what we did was we put a sound system in.
Oh,
so it's speakers on the outside. So we're in the parade, it'll broadcast the sound, the music of the thing and the, all the noises and stuff like that. So
okay, yeah. So we weren't hearing things; we were actually hearing it. Yeah,
yeah. That got creepy for about 2 seconds.
I was ready for the car to stand up. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Our horn wasn't working at all, right? We must have that little guy, 2 years old, you know, mashing the horn like little kids do. All of a sudden, the horn started working. So I'm like, oh, cool. The kid's a mechanic. The only problem with that is when I went to go turn the corner to the left, the horn would just go off. I wasn't touching it. So I had to get it fixed recently. But yeah, it's always fun. You're turning the stairway at a drive-in, a drive-through, and you beep. And the person's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, I didn't do it.
It stays on forever. Yes. Aren't old cars fun?
Right? It would beep inappropriately at the wrong time. Or appropriately. If someone's taking too long at the red light, we'd be like, okay, cool, sweet.
So we always ask the question, what car would you want someday? It's, everybody has a list of those. And let's do yours as far as other TV and movie cars. What are the top two TV and movie cars you would like to get someday?
Well, I'm a product of the 80s, so I would say DeLorean, first off, and then maybe a 57 Chevy, because it's not been in a movie, so yeah, whatever.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait a minute. There's got to be 57 Chevys that have been in movies.
Well, I hate to say it was one of Dirty Dancing, but I mean, I'm a guy. I really like to admit that I watched Dirty Dancing, but the 57 Chevy's cool, so yeah.
Yeah, well, you just say I saw the car in the movie because I knew the car was going to be in the movie.
I was watching it with my wife. That's how you get away with it.
Oh, sure. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Watching it for her, I understand.
Exactly. Yeah. Bonding, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what about Justin? Does he want to follow your footsteps in trying to get a movie car someday?
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool. I agree with him. A DeLorean time machine is definitely on the list, the top tier list. For some reason, I like the old school Volkswagen, like Herbie. So I think Herbie would be pretty cool, too.
Or the original Bumblebee. That'd be cool, too. That also, too.
Wait, how old are you, Justin? You're driving age, right?
Yeah, I just turned 24 in March.
Oh, well, you're driving age. Does he let you drive it?
No.
Well,
way to go, Dad.
I'm like, here's the keys. But he's so afraid. Well, a funny story, when I did the Pete Herman bike, right, we had to take it for a test drive. I'm like, is it mean if I care more about the bike falling than my child? But it turned out okay. No crashing. He's been riding a bike, so we're good. Yeah.
The kids heal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Bike don't. Metal doesn't heal. No.
No, no.
It's like cars. You just don't spend as much on new parts. Well, no, come to think of it, you spend a lot more on new parts. A lot more on new parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. It's a labor of love, I guess. Yeah.
I think it probably is. Ray, we appreciate the time. Thanks for taking a moment to join us here. Hey, by the way, everybody, while they're there, thanks for joining us here on the show. And remember to listen, like, share, and most important, subscribe to our audio podcast on radio.com and our video podcast on our Two Tired Guys Productions YouTube page. When you subscribe, you get notified when a new show goes up, and it helps all of us. Yes, even the Star Cars people. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget to make sure that you check out these cars when you see them at car shows all over the place, because I know once the pandemic starts going away, you guys are going to be big time going out and showing your cars, and that's always fun. Until next time, I'm Randy, that's Bob, that's Ray, that's Justin, and that was Oscar before, and we're all having fun talking about cars. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Take care.